Hello and welcome to this week's Liverpool Life podcast. My name is James Knowles and I will be bringing you all the main news stories from Liverpool this week, plus a roundup of latest sports headlines and what's going on in the city. Coming up on this week's podcast, we attend the funeral of PT Dave Phillips.
I walk beside you, an angel, a guide. If you look above, the brightest star in the sky.
Liverpool band Cast mark the 20th anniversary of their hit album. And a mental health charity held a walk through the city centre in memory of LGMU student Liam Fletcher.
Like girls can talk, they open up a lot more to the mates, whereas men, they hide.
On the 2nd of November, hundreds of police officers from across the UK attended the funeral of Merseyside PC Dave Phillips, who died when he was struck by a car. Mourners were led by Mr. Phillips' widow Jen, while daughters Abigail and Sophie lit a candle in memory of their father. Our reporter Stephen Carson was at the Anglican Cathedral where the funeral took place.
I'm outside Liverpool's Anglican Cathedral, where thousands of police officers and members of the public have turned up for the funeral of PC Dave Phillips, who died when he was struck by a car in Merseyside. The 34-year-old father of two died on the 5th of October when he was hit by a vehicle in Wallasey. Mourners have been led by his widow Jen and their young daughters. The cortege have been led by the pipes and drum band of the Police Service of Northern Ireland and officers from Merseyside Police Mounted Department on horseback. About an hour before the service began, it entered the Strand, pausing at Merseyside Police Headquarters, where colleagues there watched the procession. I spoke with a few people attending the event to get their thoughts.
People have treated him and his family with respect. The police are there to help us. You know, they're the first port of call that we contact. You know, if we need help, you know, whether a road traffic accident or a break-in or anything like this. And the police in this country are just so good for us. What better place to have it than in our magnificent cathedral? It's a pity that the young fella died the way he did. Let's hope justice happens when the time comes.
Yeah.
I'm sure his family and everybody else, his colleagues, would rather he'd be here alive with us.
Some people call being a police officer a thankless job.
They're not appreciated by those who want to cause trouble.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, as we all know, 95, if not more, percent of people are law-abiding.
Yeah.
They appreciate them.
Yeah.
It's only the ones who get caught doing the things wrong who don't appreciate them. It's a thankless job because they're trying to uphold the law. We've got laws in this country, and that's what makes this country so good, because we've got laws and most people abide by the law, and those who don't get the just deserves, and the police are there, the ones that have got to do it.
I think the public generally appreciate police, indeed.
Mm.
And I don't agree with all the cuts that are taking place. Crime's going to go up.
Yeah.
And I've always been very thankful that none of my children are police officers. You know, the thought of going round at night checking buildings and things like that. And
I think they do a very good job. I think they feel so destroyed because of what the Home Office are doing. I think you've got a point there.
Later on, during the service inside the cathedral, the sister of PC Dave Phillips, Kate, read out an emotional self-written poem.
I walk beside you, an angel, a guide. If you look above, the brightest star in the sky. Shining down on you when all you need is light. Close your eyes, lay your head, as I whisper goodnight. I know that it was too soon for us to say goodbye, but I've not gone too far. I'm in your heart and in your mind. So remember me for my smile, the one you put on my face. Remember me for my strength, the courage I always gave. Remember me forever, and I promise I'll never fade. For I am always beside you, with you all, I'll always stay.
Mayor of Liverpool Joe Anderson has hailed the service as very moving after he took to Twitter to express his thoughts and pay his respects to the family.
That was Stephen Carson at the funeral of PC Dave Phillips. To mark the 20th anniversary of their hit album All Change, Liverpool Bandcast will play a special homecoming sold-out gig with the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra in December. Our reporter Matt Crosby went to watch the rehearsals this week and spoke to the lead singer and songwriter John Power afterwards about the event and the band's new album.
No, there was talk about it, and we've always spoken about maybe the right opportunity to work with the Royal Philharmonic Liverpool Orchestra. You know, it's I think it's just more like it just seemed to arrive. We'd spoken about it. That was a good opportunity. It's a good occasion. It's a good celebration of what we're trying to do. And yeah, it seems like the I've never played with a full orchestra. I've played with strings, you know.
Is it stressful trying to get everything to click? And
nah, I don't get caught up in that. I mean, I do get stressed, but I haven't even really gave. I know I'll do it on the night, and it's no use me worrying about the orchestra. The orchestra, I'm looking forward to hearing them, and I'm being. Enjoying the experience. Like,
what's it mean to have the gig in Liverpool, obviously hometown?
Well, of course it's our hometown. We always generally do a, you know, we come back to Liverpool and do a big show and all that, but this is a very special event, you know, for us and for everyone who's coming down to make it happen. It's going to be a very special occasion, because it's not like we're going to be taking out a 32-piece orchestra on the road with us, you know.
New album's coming out soon, looking forward to that.
I am indeed, yeah. We're in the middle of recording it now. We've got about 9 backing tracks done. We'll go in. We'll hopefully get it finished. I'll get it out for March. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. I'd say it's more new. I mean, we're not trying to parody the past, and we're not trying to... You know, we're just... This whole year is about celebrating, being in the moment, being, you know, we're a lot more happier as a band, you know, as friends and all that. And so I'm just going in the studio with ideas, and then we're kind of putting them together, which is a new way of working. Instead of me going in with finished songs, I've got all these good ideas, but they tend to be pulling each other together in the studio, and it's a very relaxing way of recording. Normally I'm a bit uptight and stressed in the studio. I don't really like studios that much, but it's feeling great, you know.
That was cast member John Power finishing off that report from Matt Crosby. On the 1st of November, a memorial walk was held in the city centre in memory of LGMU student Liam Fletcher. Liam, a 21-year-old fine arts student, took his own life last month, and a campaign was instantly launched to raise awareness about mental health issues. Organised by the Invisible Group, the march started at St Luke's, better known as the Bombed Out Church, and the crowd walked through town, holding a campaign banner and wearing T-shirts printed with Liam's nickname, Fletch, along with a picture of him. We spoke to Liam's mum, Pauline, about the issues of mental health.
Girls can talk, they open up a lot more to the mates, whereas men, they hide it, especially men, like the manly men, do you know what I mean? And they'll hide it. And the first thing they've got to do is admit to themselves that they have a problem. I, as a mum, can see that he did. But for any parent who's going through this, and it's, you know, for it's always from the age of 15 up to 49, you can still have them living at home with you at that time.
Yeah.
They won't accept there's a problem. You know there is, but you can't get help.
Yeah.
If you took someone with a broken arm over the age of 18, they'd fix it.
Yeah.
Wait, this lady at the university wants to talk to me about stuff. If you took someone with a broken arm, 19, 20,
yeah,
to get mended, someone with that, you know, an illness to get mended, you go to a doctor and ask for help, or you know there's something the matter with,
yeah,
with your, one of your sons or whatever. They went to went in the house. And this is, I mean, I had on numerous occasions asked for help.
Yeah.
And when we eventually got the crisis team out to him, and Liam being Liam, because, you know, he was good looking lad, went to the gym.
He was
immaculate, and told them there was something the matter with me. So then there's just got to be some money put in, and to a group that, I mean, even like this Facebook group that people have set up now,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not very good on it, but my kids are, obviously.
Yeah.
But this is getting people stopping. Apparently, it stopped 5 people already this week, you know, apparently, from doing, you know, something, some harm. So, if Liam's death, for me, as his mum, I mean, he was like my best mate, he really was.
Thank you to Chrissy Jade Bigger for the additional reporting. Don't forget to send your tweets in to @JMU Journalism. LJMU is currently undergoing plans to revamp its city campus, and this week the Chancellor of JMU, Sir Brian Leveson, held a reception at Middle Temple Hall to discuss these plans. I went down to London to speak to the Chancellor. I'm stood outside the amazing Great Hall at Middle Temple here in London, where Liverpool John Moores councillor Sir Brian Leveson has just held a reception to recognise outstanding achievements by students at LJMU. Over 100 students and staff attended this evening as the Chancellor opened up his chambers and gave students and staff the opportunity to meet and greet esteemed guests. One of the main talking points this evening was the future of Liverpool John Moores. Earlier this evening, I spoke to Sir Brian Leveson to discuss what the future holds.
I think John Moores performs a tremendous role within the community. It provides higher education across a vast range of activity. It works very hard to make sure people can embed their academic work into a future. So if you look at the number of people who are in employment after they leave, it is very, very high. And that's actually what it needs to do. It needs to prepare people for the world outside. And I think it does that incredibly well. I think the Vice Chancellor is a remarkable visionary for what the university should achieve. And I truly believe that those who leave enhanced in body, mind and spirit.
Are you excited about the plans for the campus?
Oh yes, I think it'd be wonderful to have a campus so that you can walk from one bit of LJMU to the next without leaving university land. And I think it's important for the university to be able to become a much more coherent whole rather than a collection of pieces. And the risk is that, as the Vice Chancellor explains its origins in 1827 and added on, all those bits are not part, they remain bits. But I think that what has been happened over the years has been to make the whole thing coherent as one, and developing Copperas Hill and developing the university will cement that coherence.
That was Sir Brian Leveson talking to myself about the plans for LJMU's future.
For more on all the latest news, sport, entertainment, views and reviews, follow us on Twitter @JMU Journalism and come back often.
Several clinical commissioning groups are preparing to stop offering free IVF because of financial concerns. Couples struggling to have children are now increasingly likely to be denied NHS funding fertility treatment. CCGs will only offer funding for exceptional circumstances. For example, where the male has a transmittable infection or one partner is undergoing cancer treatment. the groups have all cited funding pressures as the reason behind the proposed changes. We went out onto the streets of Liverpool to find out your opinions.
They should give half the cancer or whatever all our causes and keep all our half for the IVF.
Well, I think they should keep the funding for it because there's so many couples out there that can't have children that do want them. And I think they should be given the chance.
Yeah, I think you should keep free funding for IVF. I think it's a better idea, especially if you can't have kids, then that's like your whole life really, isn't it, if you wanted to have kids. So I don't think you should cut it.
Not ideal, but if you want to make cuts, you want to make cuts, unfortunately.
Concerns over the future of IVF funding in England come at the start of National Fertility Awareness Week, which aims to provide extra help for the 1 in 6 couples who struggle to become parents. This week it came to light that a total of 9 schools in Merseyside have been rated inadequate by the education watchdog Ofsted. The schools are all located in Liverpool, St Helens and Knowsley. Liverpool Life reporter Laura Gilchrist joins me in the studio. So Laura, what schools have been given this rating?
Thanks James. So there are currently 6 secondary schools, 2 primary schools and 1 special school that has been put into special measures by Ofsted. Wayne Rooney's former primary school was actually one of the few that were dubbed inadequate, which is Our Lady in St Swithin's Catholic Primary School that's based in Croxteth, and the other primary school was Our Lady in St Philomena's in Fazakerley. The schools that were based in St Helens were the De La Salle School and the Lansbury Bridge School, which was the only special school in Merseyside to be given this rating. The other secondary schools were the King's Leadership Academy in Dingle, the Enterprise South Liverpool Academy in Garston, the Halewood Academy, All Saints School in Kirby, and finally the Hope Academy in Newton Le Willows.
So what kind of factors affected the ratings of the school?
In a few of the schools mentioned in the study, poor attendance was quite a major factor, with the watchdog stating that many of the pupils will be left unprepared for the real world of work. As you can imagine, GCSE results are also considered, with schools consistently gaining low GCSEs in maths and English being given poor ratings. Staff absence was also a contributing factor, leading to too much inconsistency for pupils.
Finally, what kind of things are being done to improve the ratings of the school?
Well, Ofsted often re-inspect the schools to make sure that they are making progress, and in some extreme cases, schools can be shut down if results are not improving. In some schools, new head teachers are often appointed to help make a difference, and it has been known for Ofsted to only allow schools to hire teaching staff that are well experienced.
Thank you. That was Laura Gilchrist talking about schools in Merseyside being rated inadequate by Ofsted.
For more on all the latest news, sport, entertainment, views and reviews, bookmark jmu-journalism.org.uk.
On the 3rd of November, young people between the ages of 7 and 26 showcased their films at Liverpool's Capstone Theatre in Liverpool Hope University's Shaw Street campus, exploring issues around identity, community and mental health. Our reporter, Stephen Carson, was there.
Best overall film is Oddie.
Stars of stage and screen were out in force to honour Merseyside's best young filmmakers at the 2015 Clapperboard Awards. Liverpool actor Andrew Lancel hosted the event, with presenters including Chrissy Rock, Tina Malone, Christine Tremarco and John Henshaw, just to name a few. The ceremony had a standout performer in Julian Sudbury, who claimed 4 of the awards that were distributed. Best Young Presenter to Camera was awarded to Christy Mack for her work in Scouse and Proud. The Alison Steadman Award for Active Citizenship went to We Are De La Salle. Best Young Actress was awarded to Amy Woods for her work in Oddie. And Best Young Actor was given to Julian Sudbury for his work in the same film. Julian was also awarded with the Liverpool Echo Best Achievement Award. Overall winning film and Best Original Music Award was given to Oddie. This year's judging panel included award-winning writer Frank Cottrell Boyce, acclaimed producer Nicola Schindler, star of stage and screen John Sim, and Clapperboard volunteer Sasha Corkill. I spoke with Poonam Pamchen, a member of Clapperboard's board of directors, about how important Clapperboard is to the acting community in Liverpool.
I think a lot of the films that are funded are in areas whereby they need more support, you know, in like areas that are more deprived. And I think it's really important for Liverpool to be aspirational for young people, and the city needs to really kind of capitalise on talent and creative industries, and also try and give young people confidence so that they are able to kind of look to their future, and if they're not academic, they can look at other skill sets, whether it's behind the camera or front of the camera, or whether it's writing. And I think Blackboard give people opportunity whereby, you know, in normal day-to-day life, people don't get that opportunity. And hopefully, just listen to one of the lads just now. He said he was part of Clapperboard like 7 years ago, and now he's like some spoken word artist who did an amazing film that looked like it should be Oscar nominated. So really, it's aspirational that it stays with young people for a time to come, and who knows, it will develop them to be the next, you know, spoken word artist or producer or director.
I also asked her what she thought of the films on show.
I must admit, I do have a couple of favourites within there, but I love it. And I love, especially when it's the younger people that are making the films. And there's a great film in there about like a young brother and sister who lost their mother and how they have to try and cope with that situation. And I love that because you can see that the young people are trying to find a real positive solution to that. So I like the ones that are less slick in a way. I like the ones that are more organic in their development.
Joe Anderson, Mayor of Liverpool, has expressed his delight in being able to support the 2015 Clapperboard project, and has said that Liverpool is home to some of the most talented people in the world, and that is thanks to projects like Clapperboard.
That was Stephen Carson at the Capstone Theatre covering the Clapperboard Awards. Now, let's take a look at this week's Sports Roundup with Adam Lawrence.
In British boxing, two Mirza men go toe-to-toe on Saturday to settle a British title fight, with both looking to gatecrash the world rankings. North Ender 25-year-old Callum Smith from Rotunda ABC will face 28-year-old Rocky Fielding from Stockbridge Village to compete for local bragging rights alongside the national prize. Neither is old enough to remember the days when British super middleweight boxers ruled the world, but those days could be on the horizon once again with the likes of James DeGale and Martin Murray at the top of their games, and this Merseyside duo are aiming to be a part of it. Despite the fierce local rivalry, the build-up to the showdown, which will cram the Epico Arena, has happily been insult-free. The quality of the contest between two unbeaten fighters who know each other from their amateur days has sold out the show. Following on to local boxing, Liverpoolian Ryan Farag promised an upset in his EBU European bantamweight title fight in Belgium last week, and he surely delivered. The 27-year-old British champ claimed the belt on Friday night, the 30th of October, with a 9th round stoppage of two-time world title challenger Stefan Jamoy. Farag controlled the pulsating encounter throughout, and the Everton Red Triangle fighter floored Jamoy three times en route to an impressive and his best career victory in Liège. And now for some junior sports in the city. Liverpool Basketball Club's young hoop stars shone this weekend to claim local bragging rights with a convincing 101-24 victory over Manchester Magic. After the first quarter, Liverpool won a commanding 32-2 lead against a young and relatively inexperienced Manchester side, and they extended their lead further in the second quarter to take a half-time 54-8 advantage. Despite the Liverpool coach using the opportunity to use all his squad players, the third and fourth quarters followed the same dominance as the first and the second for LBC, who went on to take a commanding win. Looking forward to tonight's Europa League fixtures, Christian Benteke and Philip Coutinho have both flown to Russia as part of a strong Liverpool squad for their clash with Rubin Kazan tonight in the Republic of Tartessan. Reds boss Jurgen Klopp hasn't left any fit first-team players out of the grueling 5,000-mile round trip to Russia, despite the quick turnaround with Crystal Palace visiting Anfield in the Premier League on Sunday. The squad aren't scheduled to return to Merseyside until early tomorrow morning, and this dedication from the Klopp is a sign of just how serious he has taken the competition as he attempts to secure their progress to the last 32. Liverpool currently sits second in Group B, 4 points behind leaders FC Sion and one ahead of Rubin Kazan and Bordeaux. Kazan frustrated the Reds at Anfield a fortnight ago when they held out for a 1-1 draw despite playing the final hour with 10 men. Staying with Liverpool, Klopp has invited former captain Steven Gerrard to train with the squad over the next 2 months following the end of his first season in the MLS. But many fans' hopes of a playing return for the Kop legend are said to be highly unlikely. The 35-year-old will spend November and December on Merseyside with his family, and he is expected to use Melwood's facilities to maintain his fitness levels.
That was Adam Lawrence with this week's Sports Roundup. And finally, let's take a look at what's happening in Liverpool over the coming days. Veterans, soldiers and the public will be in the Liverpool City Centre to honour the memories of those who have given their lives in the war on Sunday, November the 8th. Church services, wreath-laying ceremonies and parades will be held across Liverpool to mark Remembrance Sunday. Thousands of poppy petals will also be dropped from the roof of St. George's Hall after a 2-minute silence at the annual remembrance service. At 11 a.m. after the last post is played, a firing gun will mark the start of the 2-minute silence across the city, followed by the laying of wreaths at the cenotaph. Prayers will then be led by the Bishop of Liverpool, the Right Reverend Paul Bayes, followed by the singing of the national anthem. There will then be a short parade and march, after which individuals will be invited to lay their own wreaths. For those of you who wake up and count down the days till Christmas, then this will get your blood going, as Liverpool's Christmas lights will be switched on Friday the 13th of November. Liverpool will also be home to the UK's tallest Christmas tree. This year's festive centrepiece will stand at 30 metres tall once it is constructed on Paradise Lane near John Lewis. The 23-ton Christmas tree will be built using a 12-sided steel cone, 280 heart lights, 314 light rods and more than 2,000 metres of cabling to supply the power to illuminate the giant structure. The music defined a generation, captured the hearts and ideals of millions, and now Liverpoolians will be able to relive the memories as Anarin Productions presents Let It Be, a celebration of the music of the Beatles. Direct from London's West End and Broadway, the international hit show comes to Liverpool with a limited engagement, ending November the 14th. That's all for today. Don't forget to visit www.jmujournalism.org.uk for more stories. Join us next week for Liverpool's Life weekly podcast. I'm James Knowles. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Liverpool Life podcast, brought to you by the journalism students at the Redmond's News Centre. More next week.